Okay. Welcome back to another episode of the Z Team. I am your Dungeon Master, Sky, and with me are my ever benevolent players. We got the handsome Koopas Quill.
Your lucky benevolent works for my character. Hi.
The terrifically gorgeous Olivus Aelra.
I'm disturbed.
The beautiful Raz is Kian.
We were just talking about dick chopping. I don't think any of these words apply to us.
The adorable Onyx is Artemis.
Look, you can just nom the balls, but don't use teeth. That's all I'm saying. So no teeth.
No, you gotta shark that shit.
Was that we were figuring out how the characters were going to understand their situation.
Or cow grind. You cow grind and that's the end of it.
Through all this, they were...
What the hell is cow grind?
According get...
Do you not know how a cow eats grass?
Oh. You know, they chew up and make a... They make a cud.
Yeah, you chewing. Cow grind.
God, that hurts me to think about.
Anyways, Sky.
You were saying?
I just finished the recap. You guys were talking about grinding sandwich.
No, yeah, we were trying to figure out our situation.
Yeah. We weren't figuring our situation. We were going to leave in the morning on the cart.
Perfect. You do so.
Awesome.
Woo!
Great.
Now I'm just thinking about cows.
So now you're just now thinking about Chud, right?
I'm thinking of them DSLs, man.
Hey, Artemis, can we get some road tunes?
Highway to Hell.
And I'm wanted. Wanted.
Kian pushes Artemis off the cart.
Dead or run over.
We'll pick you back up on the way back.
Quill just laughs.
Annabelle.
It's amusing to think you're going that fast that the Doppler effect works.
Mm-hmm. I'm the one who bought the horse.
Well, I mean,
he went halfers with Quill, and he paid
she
more.
She listens to me. She knows me. Anyway, hit.
So you guys head for about 6 days, camping in the cart, and... kind of a miserable-ish situation. but at least peaceful. Nothing tries to get you on the roads. A couple of pirates try, but, you know, they look at, you know, the size of Quill and how well-armed all of you are, and they just think better of it.
It's basically like Plains... kind of area, right? Like there's like very sparse trees. It's just kind of like
it's more hilly.
Okay.
Prutlis and Freesail is very, very hilly. It's like rolling hills. The plains is mostly Esnos. So there are times where you have to unhitch the horse as you're going down like a very steep hill or else it'll get away on you. And then very slow coming up.
Well, we make Quill walk uphill.
You could probably carry all three pieces, the horse, the cart, and you guys.
But yeah,
it's not personal.
I'll personal walk guy. Where I need to.
Terrific. So on the edge of the seventh day, so it's taking us about 8 days total, travel, you take the right fork, as she recommended, towards the ocean.
Yes.
And you travel down a wonderful little seaside path. This has seen a lot of carriages, wagons, and items. And it kind of goes down towards the sea, so it kind of kisses the sea's edge, you could say. And beautiful sea, salty air kind of flies through. The ride here becomes very smooth and nice. As you sort of enter a little bit of wooded area, for no lack of a better term, castle sits to the seaside, facing the South Ocean. Multiple towers and parapets rise at beautiful symmetrical peaks. Many lights flicker through the old stone windows. And at the very entrance, as you ride up, a gnarled wooden arbutus tree grows as the entrance to it all, slithering and spiding up and twisting in all different shapes and directions. As your cart kind of rolls, I assume you kind of put it off to the side with a few others. A man stands kind of up to the side of the doorway, kind of staring out. A brown mop of hair tussled by the seaside wind. His black leather is perfectly sharp, shaped to his body as he waits, gazing at the sea. A gorgeous rapier lies at his right hip, glowing of what seems radiant energy. And although the blade is pristine, the hilt shows many battles. He doesn't even look your way as you sort of get out of the cart.
Is this where we need to be?
Aelra is just kind of stretching out her legs and meandering a little bit. Just kind of looking around.
The invitation that we got said to look for a splitting river, correct?
Yeah. You already passed the fork in the road. You're here.
Okay.
Artemis, whoa. Is there a valet?
No.
Damn it.
I don't think anybody will steal your old horse.
Well, where do we park?
Just to the side. There's like a little cobblestone like parking area, and a spot and a stable for horses.
Self-parking, how asinine.
Let's just put our horse away, make sure that she gets treated fairly. She's done well.
Yes, yes. Quill, help me park the cart, and we can take Mavis to the stables.
Mavis? When did we name her? Mavis.
I did. The moment I laid eyes upon her. She's a glorious steed.
Let's just put her away.
Mavis Bacon, the learning program.
So yes, we will park the cart, take her to the stable, and then Artemis pulls back his cloak to reveal his outfit. A stunning little black tuxedo with red undershirt and red inlines.
Did you change the hat or did you keep the hat?
The hat is now a red top hat. It is gauche and it stands out.
Nice.
Hey, taller people might finally, realize you're there.
Everyone always knows when Artemis Red enters a room. If nobody else going to describe their outfits?
Is there like a,
How schmegsy do you look?
Is there like a, maybe a more private place to switch around? Or?
I assume you did it in the morning or the afternoon when you woke up.
Ah, good. Okay, yes, then.
You haven't been riding for several days in your outfits. What is that? Would be very uncomfy.
I can't remember what you called it.
Chiffon? You could just say a black slender dress, but...
Black slender fluffy looking dress.
There you go. Did you do your hair at all, or is it just standard?
No, she definitely would. Not like... Never mind, can't say that. She would get it in like a big old ponytail.
Kian kind of gave himself a little bit of a fancier leather leather jacket with a leather vest. Still a trench coat. A nice pair of black slacks to cover his... He cleaned his traveling boots because he didn't bother with new boots. And he's got silver rimmed, which he actually melted down some of his own silver to make. Silver rimmed black glasses. So they obscure his eyes so people don't notice them. Then he brushed the grease out of his hair.
Artemis will pull out a cane and begin walking forward. Is there any attendant
that no, will... Just the man standing by the door to the entrance.
Accept our invitation. Artemis Red and party here upon invitation.
The man seems to come back from sightseeing. Looks down at you and goes, "Pleasure to meet you. Name's Shade."
Pleasure to meet you as well.
He brings out a gloved hand to shake yours.
Oh, okay. Artemis will shake his hand.
Here for the party?
Yes, what the invitation was for.
Ah, perfect. Well, it's sort of already started if you want to head in.
Oh, perfect.
Do you mind getting an attendant to invite me in? It's terribly rude to enter a party without, you know, being welcomed in.
Is there like a whole group of other people just standing around also having the same issue?
No, it's empty out here.
Just him?
Yep.
Oh. Well, do you have an invitation?
Ah, of course. Lady Leandra wouldn't think to dismiss me.
Waits for him to show it.
He waits as well.
Oh, do you not have it on person?
Of course not.
Kian's going to walk up and he's going to put a couple silver into Tim's hand and be like, "Look, I think this isn't the place for you. Why don't you just go get a hot meal?" And
Tim looks at the silver, nods, puts it in his pocket.
Wait, you called him Tim?
Oh, sorry, Shade. My bad.
That's better.
Yeah, I was like, "This is, I don't know if this is the exact same person."
And if it was, that would be really meta.
Thief, I've come to party.
Right, it's okay. He'll just kind of escort him away. I was always refused from parties too. I completely understand. Maybe another time.
I mean, we can literally just say that there's one more to our party that they were expecting.
We don't know this man. He could be here to kill somebody. He could completely drag us through the mud. Why are you people so trusting?
Why are you so not trusting? Quill's going to look at Shade and just be like, "Are you here to kill anyone?"
Yes, because he's going to tell us.
Not unless they try to kill me. I'm not fond of vampires.
Say what now?
You've been invited to the court of Lady Leandra.
He is going to look right at Quill. You hadn't figured that one out yet.
Well, I mean, the messenger was, but I didn't think they all were.
Ah, you met the ghoul. Hmm. She often has ghouls as messengers.
I mean, vamps have vamps working for them, you know? It's just simple things.
It's true. She's the only one on this entire continent. She's created quite a business.
So wait, why can't you go in? You're not a vampire.
Ah, unfortunately, I did a deal with one in the past, and in exchange for a little bit of immortality blood. I am part vampire, which means crossing thresholds is a issue.
Oh, a damn fear.
Sure.
Or not the same.
No, a damn fear is someone who was born of a vampire.
Yes.
Oh.
It's entirely different.
Call me a thin blood, quarter blood.
Oh, well, I guess we'll go inside and tell an attendant that Shade is here.
Please, that would be very kind of you. I hope to see you in there. I'll get you a glass.
Sorry about the name mistake. You just look very much like a Tim.
I have only gotten that once before.
I've killed a lot of people for that name.
He rubs his bare chin and then kind of looks you over and goes and shrugs. So you the four of you head in, and I assume you tap a waiter or somebody on the way in.
Yes, excuse me, sir.
Yes.
We have a gentleman standing outside who is needing invitation inside, if you get my drift.
Oh, of course. Thank you, sir. And you give your invitation to the person inside the door. It's like a little bit of an after room, like a mud room almost, where you see people taking off their coats, and you see that they're very clearly two vampiric beings at the main door to enter into the ballroom, and they seem to be searching people for weapons and all that jazz. They don't take them, they just seem to be taking stock of who is dangerous and armed. So you see, as you enter, you see this large human male, about 6'1", broad chested, big great sword on his back. They just kind of check it and then they wave him through. He's got a big bristly white mustache as he smiles and enters. And then they close the door behind. And as you get there, they just kind of, they don't really necessarily feel you up roughly. They just kind of, you know, check you out fully.
Do we need to describe what our weapons look like?
Yes. Welcome to the Topps Casino, baby. Gonna need you to check in your weapons at the door. No. Ring a ding ding, baby.
I mean, as an artillerist, you've crafted this thing. So the most they would make it peg to look like is just a simple flintlock, even though it's much more.
Oh, well, yeah, but he's got two of them on him. Like, he's got two in a gun belt, and he's got a bandolier full of strange looking ammunition. So, I mean, like.
They don't know what that really is, so they'll probably just mark it up to good. You'll see them write down on a piece of paper.
He got guns.
Two guns, and that's it. They actually, I don't know if you're wearing it at your hip, but they would mark the toy rapier they find in your bag, too.
Oh, no, Artemis has the toy rapier on his side.
Nice. And you are waved into the most extravagant ball that any four of you have ever seen. The high vaulted ceilings here, immediately a staircase heads down into the main floor. You see guests sort of mingling about. You see a bunch of tables, as well as a bunch of very clear bodyguards milling around in the corners. They kind of try to stay in the many different types of foliage around the outskirts. You see giant palm trees, stuff that doesn't belong in this climate, but surviving nonetheless. At the far end of the room, up a dual set of stairs that wrap around the left side and the far right side, is a small chair that is vacant at the moment, but flanked by two more bodyguards. And as you enter, one of the servants just goes, "May I announce you, or would you prefer to go unnoticed?"
Why, of course, announced.
And with that coming from Artemis, Aelra is going to kind of distance a bit. And just kind of, like, make motions like, no, I don't want to.
All parties must be in agreement.
We can just keep it Artemis, Red, and party.
And he lights like almost like a spotlight of light magic upon you and goes, "Announcing to the party, Lady Leandra's guests of honor, Artemis Red, and party." And the spotlight fades briefly, and you guys just kind of stand on the stairs for a second, blinded.
Artemis enjoying the spotlight with his teeth shining white and grinning. Wonderful.
Well, this is awkward.
Just a little. Love
being the center of attention.
Shall we head down then and not stand here awkwardly?
Of course, Artemis makes his way down the stairs, very with a swag walk.
As you descend the stairs, you hear that Shade is announced behind you, and you start to get in. There's about 30 people here. Of the crowd, there's only about 4 people that really stick out that aren't, you know, just like maybe probably vampires or just other noble folk. Mostly elves litter the crowd here. But you find an ancient looking Eladrin, a fae, in the far corner. His beautiful appearance only complements everything of the 4,000 years he's been alive. His blonde hair beautifully pulled back, green eyes sparkling with his green skimp wear, we'll say, that barely covers his member down there. And he kind of just stands there portraying the party and drinking old elven wine. In another corner, for lack of a better term, full tiefling sits in a lush chair. His horns, though fully curled up and out, they're like good, like 14-inch horns that curl almost to the back of his head. He sits there in beautiful white and black livery, sporting a glass in his left hand, and in the right, a black-bound book. And near the stairs going up to the other end, kind of just having a seat on one of them, is a dwarven, battle rager. He sits there in bare-chested but covered in tattoos. Member only taken away from a cod piece as well. Very nude people at this party. Two beautifully etched mithril hand axes along his back as he sits there, his big, gorgeous brown beard covering a little bit of his chest, ringed and braided and pierced in certain places, his nose looking freshly bruised, his eyes just kind of grumpily looking at the tiled, beautiful tiled floor. And the last was the old looking human with the great sword as he kind of immediately goes for the buffet table. He seems to use a radiant light over a little bit before sampling it, as if testing to make sure of poison, but he stays away from some of them. But he goes for some salad.
I feel like I've overdressed for this party.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad I'm in armor.
Also, those bastards. Poisoning everything except the salad.
Salad's already poisoned.
Exactly. The irony. Well, it seems that the host has yet to arrive to the party. But maybe we should mingle.
I'm gonna leave you to do that. I'll be over here. And he points to the furthest corner away from everybody.
You go stand close to the foliage. You hear a rustle as a vampire bodyguard has been hiding there, and he looks at you, and you look at him, and he just kind of grumbles and finds a different place to hide.
Then I take over his hiding spot.
Hiding inside the planter.
Ha, this is better.
I don't feel comfortable splitting up, but I guess Keen will do what Keen wants.
Artemis is already mingling. weaving in between the crowd, hitting up various conversations, listening in on the tone. Give me a couple of chuckles here, a bad joke there.
Quill, how are we going to keep track of them?
I don't know.
I think Kian will probably just stay where he is.
You look over, he's inside a plant.
He gives you a thumbs up and hides further.
Alright, so I guess really our biggest worry just ends up being...
We just gotta make sure that he doesn't create more trouble for us.
Mm-hmm. Why, yes, I am an honored guest.
Well, at least, you know, I guess this is kind of his element, in a way.
Charming. Like, all I'm saying is,
I was so surprised to get the invitation, because I've heard of her and we have had a conversation or two before, but to be invited to such a wonderful ball was a true surprise.
Oh, awesome. He's lying to people.
Kind of hoping the drinks aren't full of blood.
Okay, which type of drink would Artemis go for?
The punch.
Give me a con save.
Oh, God.
As you take the first sip.
Oh, boy. 18. Plus 2. 20. Dirty.
You touch the tip of the glass, you take your first sip, and... immediately you start getting a headache.
Oh. Yeah, that's roofied.
Quill, I think you just took a sip of something you probably shouldn't have.
I'll go take it away from him. And then Quill, like, strolls up and, like, takes the glass and says, "Do you really think we should be drinking or eating anything here?"
Well, yes, it's a party.
I mean, yes, but look at our hosts.
It would seem rude to not. The punch is a little bit strong, though. I do suggest staying away from that.
Quill's going to examine the punch and, like, try to, like, see if it actually is punch.
It's liquid in a bowl.
It doesn't, like, smell like blood or anything like that?
Oh, it's not blood. No. Okay.
Let me check this. You do see
a clearly bull-marked blood for those who need it. But it is on a whole other table away, so it's not... and you don't see a lot. It's full, pretty much.
So, Sky, as Artemis drank this... could he detect what kind of ill effects, or is this just a strong drink?
There was a poison in it, but you're right. And as you're kind of standing there, you feel a little tingle all across your body, and your lips almost can't move correctly at first.
Ooh.
But then you're able to get, it's almost paralyzing.
Ooh. They added some of the good stuff.
What's the good stuff?
Paralyzation.
Quill just, like, looks at the liquid and then it just, like, plops it on the table, like, far away from Artemis's reach and goes, like, someone else can have it then.
No! No! How dare you put it on the top shelf, you bastard!
As the two squabble, Shay comes down as the two side by Aelra and just... he looks around and then just shrugs and goes, "Ugh. Now we wait until the gift giving and we leave."
Did you say gift giving?
Yes. As is customary, she gives a gift to all the guests of honor.
Oh.
And usually it's blackmail or something, but you didn't hear that from me.
Well... you know, I guess I was more worried that we were supposed to bring something, because we definitely brought nothing.
No, you've brought Artemis, which is a bomb.
Actually, funny, I was going to say we did bring Artemis, so you know, we could just leave him here, but...
He looks like a gift. Wonderful. He must be a pleasure to hang with.
You know.
And a headache.
He can play music. He apparently went to a college. I don't know what they taught there, but he went there.
It's a low bar then for your expectations, he chuckles.
Okay, cool. So we didn't need to bring any gifts.
I just hope that your blackmail doesn't line you in with and he kind of like under his breath he leans a little closer to your ear, his breath against your neck and goes, deadly.
Well, we've had a few experiences together as a party here in the last month, I think. I don't know. There are some weird time things going on. So, I guess being blackmailed by a rich vampire probably isn't, like, too crazy far outside the realm of possibility here, I guess.
Well, keep your wits about you. You've got... And he kind of looks into your eyes briefly. He's like, oh, power. Well, enjoy a wonderful evening. I never caught your name.
Aelra.
He smiles. You remind me of somebody. And he bows very low before walking to mingle with the old fighter.
Okay, mental note, shade. Cool, slightly creepy, but cool. And, yeah, I guess we'll just wait.
Anybody else want to do anything crazy? Talk to anybody important, or?
Kian just kind of does nothing. Just make sure he's as little as possible so that nobody comes and talks to him.
Shay goes over and talks to you.
Starts sweating profusely.
Who were some of the guests that you mentioned again earlier?
So you've got the old human with the great sword and the bristly mustache, the ancient elf wearing skimpy clothes, and the tiefling in a lavish chair. The only place that actually has a chair in this entire place seems it was brought out specifically for him, reading a big black book, and then the dwarf slayer.
I think Quill would want to actually like talk to like the dwarf slayer because he's just like big and intimidating.
So you walk over to the pouting dwarf on the stairs. He kind of looks up as you come and he goes,
I always thought dragons were a little bit taller and bigger and had a bite.
Well, a true dragon would be, yes. I, however, am only a dragonborn. One day, maybe. Who knows?
You see, void of intelligence, he just tries to figure out something that goes with that. Like, doesn't that... What?
Oh. So, what's your story?
Well, from a small village, trying to hunt down some people, came to this land, got everything topsy-turvy. Now I have no idea what the hell I'm doing, and somehow got invited to this, so now I'm here. What's your story?
It sounds pretty crazy. But you must be something to get invited to the ball. I'm going in the king's stead. She invites him every ball, but he never goes because he doesn't like...
And he says this very openly, the undead. They should be in ground.
Mm. I am here simply out of politeness, and if she tries to kill me, it's not the king. So there's that.
Who exactly is she?
Lady Leandra?
Yeah.
She's the only queen vampire in the entire continent, and she's kept it that way. She heard when this continent first got found, and she immediately took a boat over and claimed basically the continent for herself. And the rest is history. No other vampire clans, just hers. She likes to keep it quiet, but matriarchish.
Can someone really claim all this land for themselves, though?
Have you seen the humans? They practically take over everything these days. But if you're powerful enough, I don't see why not. We have an entire country, as by the Accords. What's wrong with owning an entire continent? Now, I expect she doesn't do it by the coin, mostly behind the bar shit. He spits on the tile floor. Just would love to take an axe to her, you know?
I mean, I've not met her myself yet, so I'll reserve my judgment. But overall, yeah, I would agree. Things that are dead should stay dead.
Yeah. I know this, you dressed up nice. No tie.
I thought my armor would do personally.
Well, it's more than enough for me. But I expect Leandro would want, you know, a suit. I mean, a dragonborn in her little keep. She'll be telling the elves for years that she's better.
We are a warrior race. We don't actually dress up.
That's what I like to hear. Actions first, swing first. And then there's something about questions, but I don't like those.
Yeah, I've heard those exist. I sometimes forget to do that myself. Probably shouldn't.
It depends what company you keep. You've got a little talking midget. Oh, sorry. Halfling. In your corner there. He'll do more than enough talking, so when the swinging time comes, you know what to do.
Quill's just gonna, like, stop for a second and be like, oh, goddammit, what is he doing now? And he's just gonna look at Artemis.
Oh, it's one of my orange drinks. I knew something might happen, so I BYOB'd.
You brought your own alcohol to a palace. Oh, the audacity.
Just starts offering it to people.
He's drinking a sun-kissed orange.
It's actually Bud Light orange.
He's got it in a big old sippy cup.
Not sponsored by, but it's orange lager.
Sprite?
Sprite cranberry?
Yeah, Sprite cranberry.
Sprite cranberry.
Jack and Coke?
Sprite cranberry.
So as you leave, the Slayer just goes... Keep your head up.
Yeah, Quill's just gonna give him a nod and then just be like, aye, you as well.
Man, Quill, you are like one of the few talks of the town.
What do you mean?
I mean, everybody wants a piece of that tail.
But I don't have a tail?
Exactly. Everybody wants a piece, but it's not there.
Loud groaning.
But, I mean, you are a rarity. Anywhere on Calarvis, actually. So, Don't be surprised if people give you a second glance.
Well, I mean, they've been doing that for the most part anyway, so...
Oh, yeah. Also, Artemis, real quick, is going to cast a message at Aelora, using the cantrip, saying, food and drink's poison, don't eat it.
Aelora's definitely not going to eat it.
He doesn't tell Kian.
Oh, Kian's not touching anything anyway.
Yeah, I think Kian's fine. He's hiding in a bush, so...
I suppose we should wait until the lady-in-waiting appears.
Okay, so you wait about an hour, a little bit more mingling. Kian sinking further and further into the potted soil. A gardener eventually comes by, and he kind of just pops some soil over your knees and waters it a little bit, looks at you, shrugs, and leaves.
He hisses at him.
No, Kian's fine.
No, Kian. Oh, okay. I was going to say Kian hisses at him.
Kian's just like, perfect, I'm even more hidden.
It's so funny to think of this, like, this man in a flower pot in the middle of a ballroom, off to the side, just, like, surveying the party, hunched over, trying not to be noticed, and then getting watered.
He does need to bloom.
Grow up big and strong. Put Artemis in it.
Do it.
Okay, so the doors on one of the top balconies opens, and a beautiful lady in a black slender dress with purple accents, showing impeccable cleavage, with purple accented lipstick that is both vibrant and warm. Her black eyes wander over the party, although her smile, devoid of warmth, she seems to drift over the small railing on the balcony and slowly descend onto the top area near her chair before she goes to the very edge. There's a little railing there. And all the guests slowly stop talking and quiet down. Hello, my lovely guests. This century has given us a ton of fun. What with the whole climate changing, the elements disappearing, I felt that now that we're slowly getting some sense of normalcy, that we should have another ball. So here we all are, and I hope you've enjoyed yourselves thus far. You hear some grumbling from the dwarf in the corner, but hard to pick out what he says in Dwarven.
I know Dwarven.
Okay, so the two of you here.
Stuck up undead.
Perfect.
And she goes... But now is the wonderful time of gifts. And she turns around her ass, beautiful, as she goes towards her chair, crossing her single leg and showing thigh for the gods, for the Church of Thigh Theology. And she says... Sir Markarian Dragonbrook, if you would come to the stage. And the human leaves Shade's company, and he ascends the stairs. And you hear sort of like a hushed conversation. And one of the vampires in the back grabs a small ornate black box and hands it to him. And he just nods, turns, and leaves down to the regular floor. The wonderful Night of Winter Court. and Eladrin drifts up the left side of the stairs, barely touching in the beautiful grace of his curves. They also seemingly have a wonderful conversation, though there's actually laughter with this one as he entertains her. And a black, long, slender rod is grabbed, almost like a... contextually humorous, but radiating of purple power is handed over to him.
No, here's the thing. This is okay, but here's the thing. This is like in character. Like Artemis is actually fucking giggling right now. Yeah. All he can think about is Black Rod.
Neanderthal brain. God damn it. He nods, and as he descends the stairs, he actually just disappears.
Does he disappear with his big black rod?
He does. In tow.
Gotta be showing that off to everybody.
Grimgi the Slayer in the King of Clint's stead. Will you... And the orc kind of just saunters, stomping up the stairs. No grace at all as he gets to the top. He just crosses his big muscled arms and he looks at her and he goes, "No whispers. The whole thing is hurt." And she smiles and she goes, "Well, unfortunately, without the king here, the words will have to be imparted by you, the messenger. It is always a wonder that the dwarves make so much wonderful jewelry and medals for me. So, and in exchange for the king, she brings out a helmet that looks dangerously close to Kian and Aelora. You know history enough. That almost looks like a replica of the Great Helmet."
All you hear is a plant in the back go, "Oh shit."
And you actually visibly see the dwarf uncross his arm and pale.
Oh. Judging by his reaction, can Aelora like get a little bit of like a vibe off of that? Like, does the dwarf feel as though that is real?
He seems frightened.
Ah. Hmm. Huh.
And you actually catch Shade's eye, and Shade shakes his head.
Like, as in, like,
no, or I can't believe it.
Not it.
Okay.
Is what you get from the thing.
Gotcha.
But the dwarf just goes, perfect. It's, yes. And he grabs the helm, and almost in reverence, he, you know, it's, "Thank you, Lady Leandra, on behalf of Clint's and the dwarfs. We hope to further establish a relationship with the court." And he descends the stairs holding in reverence and in scared apparition as he kind of just walks off to the side as if he was holding... He just got handed a bomb. I mean, if it was real, it would be.
She'd put it on. What are you talking about?
She calls up the tiefling in Infernal. I don't know if any of you know Infernal.
Let me check.
Uh-oh. That's another language that Aelora did not know she knew.
There we go.
Wait, actually, no, she probably would because she would know because she's tiefling. Did she grow up on this plane? I don't know.
Your mom probably taught you Infernal.
Yeah, we'll go with that. We'll go
because
with that.
Of Chowder?
Yeah. Okay, we'll go with that.
Oh my god, did you put Chowder in a bow tie?
Yeah, you had to cook with Chowder.
Uh-huh.
Just a tiny little hellhound puppy with a bow tie.
Oh my god.
Yes.
That's so cute.
Chowder sits underneath like a bowl and heats up the water.
Oh my lord. It's like Chowder thing does ever. Have bow tie. Gorgeous.
I guess just off question, how much am I able to touch Chowder with him being...
He doesn't hurt you because of your fire resistance.
Ah, cool. Yeah. Oh, well...
You could literally hold him like a chihuahua puppy. You know, like those fancy people at parties.
Yeah, but the dress.
Oh. I mean... Kian could spray anti-inflammatory on it or whatever.
All right,
fire retardant.
Yeah, we'll assume that's what's happened, yeah. And I'm just holding Chowder in my arms.
The flames licking across your dress. Nice.
Yeah.
The dog, you know, like, I imagine you're not holding him, like, you're only holding him with one arm, so his, like, front paws are just, like, out in the air. And his tongue just out to the side, breathing, panting. Yes.
Well, maybe I'll have it like I usually carry Mio. And how I usually carry Mio is like underarm almost.
Yeah. he's under your like right arm, just like suspended and just like, what is happening? Everything is wonderful. I have a tie. Ah.
He's big vibing right now.
Yeah. And the tiefling is called up under an infernal name that kind of almost grates on your teeth. And for some reason, you can't even remember the word that was said. You just know it hurt. Mm. And he puts down the book. He was reading through the whole thing and leaves it on the chair next to the glass. Sets the glass on top of the book, precariously on the side of the armchair. And ascends the stairs. And she herself reaches into her bosom and produces a golden key, which she politely bows towards and accepts it. No words are exchanged as he descends back to reading his book. And then Shade is called up. And Shade kind of just like hangs his head like a child who doesn't want to be here. Kind of like the Slayer in a little bit. He kind of slugs up the stairs and he goes, "Ah, Lady Leandra, how pleasant to see you. You haven't aged a day in 2,000 years, what is it?" And she,
what a dick.
She kind of gives him like the glaring eyes and she goes, 612. And he raises an eyebrow, "Not a day over 2,000. And you see the guards kind of step forward a little bit, but she waves them back. Now, we are on peaceful terms.
For now.
He snorts. He snorts. We'll see what happens. And she produces a scroll. And loudly enough for everybody here, she goes, "That wonderful tavern you hold so dear. I have a way to destroy it." And he shrugs and he goes, "Okay. I love these parties you always bring me to. You're so kind in your poison drinks and your many vampiric entities. But that's not a gift, that's a threat." And she smiles and goes, "I could give it to you. And magic can be replicated, wouldn't you know?" She sort of glowers and she extends the scroll and he still accepts it and goes, "Wow, I can't wait to burn this in a minute." And then he, without even bowing or anything crazy, descends the stairs to stand by the human. And he just goes, "Wouldn't you know it? I could run my fire for a second." What a joke. And eventually,
I like these people.
As the people calm down, she calls up Artemis Red.
Artemis quickly hides the beer that he brought. Just like slide of hands it to the ground. Those people dropping things. And he like happily walks up. As he ascends the stairs, he gives a takes off his top hat and gives a gracious bow.
And she extends her left hand to you.
He gives it a gentle kiss.
What a gentleman. Look at this. Our honored guest and bard of tales all through the world. He has come to grace us with his wonderful presence.
You guys, I'm always up for making stories.
A plant laughing in the background.
I'm always happy to make some stories, my lady.
And she looks you in the eyes and she says, well, I hope to have you back soon when I hold the next one. And she gestures to a almost like a chest. Like, this thing is pretty large. And one of the guards gives it over to you. And she goes, oh, please, please open it here. Love it when a guest opens their gifts.
Of course, I'd never turn down a request from such a powerful and beautiful woman. And Artemis flips open the top. What do we got?
You see four tombstones. On it is Maple's full name. It is a... and three other names you do not know. And it says the date is today for their death. And she goes, oh, I hope you enjoy it.
As Artemis is, like, reading the other three names.
So one of them you do recognize. It is Lilinel.
Mm-hmm.
And Roland Lumenstone.
Kind of heard about them. There's a lot of mistellings about what they could do. Okay, the next one.
And it is not the full name, but it is he is called the Judged Ekram.
Huh. Does Artemis know that that person actually already like is considered dead?
Ekram for sure, depending on how much Mabel told, or if you met up with Roland, Roland probably would have told you as well, that he sacrificed himself to keep the island from exploding, and to make sure the portal closed.
Sky, you know, I'll tell you that later. Okay. We'll talk about that later. Artemis is reading over these and it's like, well, these are very fine craftsmanship, but I thought the fourth one here was already, you know, dead. Gone. Bye-bye.
Oh, right. No. The fourth one. Sorry, I know. I had a theme going and I didn't leave instructions. The fourth one is... your death.
Like, we talking the entity or the actual definition?
Oh, it's a gift. You can make it whatever you want it.
I can't carry these.
Oh, we'll have it delivered to your cart there out front.
Okay, thanks. I don't like to let people know that, but I'm not all that physically strong.
All right. I won't let our little secret slip. And she gets the bodyguard who dropped it to close it up, and he starts taking it out the front door.
Okay, thank you. You doing anything later?
I'll be insanguinating the rest of the crowd. Would you like to join in that?
Maybe the after party? I don't want to be rude and interrupt you during the exsanguination.
Right. Well, we'll have a room prepared for you and the wonderful guests. And, you know, if you feel up to it, we'll have an after party.
Lovely. And Artemis will make his way down.
Is he, how is he feeling?
Feels pretty great.
Okay.
He's like, yes, I got a date.
So the ball is basically called, some guests start leaving, and Shade kind of walks over to... Kian, did you come over at all, or are you still hiding?
Still hiding.
Okay, he'll walk over to the three of you and go, Jesus Christ, that was tense. What the hell was that?
That was me securing a date later.
Wait, what?
I mean...
Yeah, she said she had to do some sort of exsanguination or whatever. I don't know. Some weird thing. And then me and her would have an after party together.
Oh, Christ, she's poisoning all the members on the floor to bleed them dry.
No. She said exsanguination, not bleed them dry. I think you're mixing up terms here.
No. This happened last year. She's going to make ghouls out of everyone here.
Huh.
Some vampires.
Oh, yeah. Was the party able to see what was in the chest?
No.
Okay. Inside that chest were four tombstones of the heroes. Quote unquote.
What heroes?
That's...
Oh, yeah, you're not from here. You see, a few years back, it's been about 25 years or so, four people went on a journey throughout the land of, well, it was originally called Krillis, and ended up going on a journey to battle and stop the King of Hell, which... They succeeded, I guess? I don't know. And then a lot is up to debate on if they actually ended up sinking most of the continent or not. Who knows? But she had their tombstones in a chest.
Tombstones? But they're not dead.
The date said for today, so.
Wait. And then Cole's going to look at Shade. Wait, you're saying that what he just said is actually true?
Yes, I helped them from time to time. With projects and items that they required. If what you're saying is true, then she's put a hit out on the heroes that have been in hiding, in loose terms, for a decade now. Maybe two.
I don't know why heroes would hide.
When you're blamed for the continent being destroyed, you're no longer a hero.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. They didn't do it, by the way. He looks like Will.
But oh.
Regardless.
What, you're saying I did it?
Bigger problem. No. Yes, absolutely. Your big dragonborn butt. In essence, the bigger problem is she's taking out key end targets. The threat of the helm to the King of Klentz, the Black Rod to the Eladrin is a sleeper agent. It will eventually take control of the Winter Court. She's making big moves to quite literally take over this continent.
Yeah.
By taking out all the people that could oppose her, mainly the heroes.
And you? What did she give to you?
She gave me a scroll that could destroy my tavern.
Okay.
And?
That's just it'll a building.
Work. Yeah, it'll work, but she thinks that that's my most precious thing.
That's just a building.
Just a building.
Home is where the heart is.
Truly. You can make home out in the trees, you can make home out on a boat, you can make it in the middle of a cave. It doesn't matter as long as you're happy.
And a tavern could just be rebuilt.
It certainly can. Be about the fifth time I've built one.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to go talk to a certain leader out in Greggy. So,
a carpenter.
I believe
for your new tavern.
Yeah. Mostly your father, though. But Gregian wood is good.
That's what she said.
Nice.
Do you want me to tell him anything from you, or? He looks at Artemis in particular.
Oh, Mom says hi.
Okay. I'll let him know.
Wait, you know his father?
The hero. His father is the legendary Mabel.
Hear a plant in the back audibly gasp?
All right, kid. You're not fooling anybody.
Quill's just looking shocked beyond belief, because now he's just like, wait, so is everything Artemis has been saying real? Have I just been discounting him this whole time?
My mom always told me that my dad was a real swell guy. He stopped coming back, though, a few years ago.
He was a busy man.
Yeah.
Kian's gonna walk out. So your dad was Maple? The Maple?
Yeah.
That would make your mom a halfling, right?
We've been over this.
So,
I just thought. Okay.
So what you're saying?
Shouldn't you just be a little taller if you're half human?
My dad was not the tallest of humans. I mean, Grasians are rather short, didn't you know?
I still think they're considerably taller than a halfling.
Yes.
I wonder what that's like to grow up the child of a hero like that. Isn't there like a lot of pressure or something?
Not at all. I'm already great.
I guess that checks out.
Definitely builds one's confidence.
Yeah, it seemed like that.
So what you're really trying to say is that you're just a line in the maple tree.
The dragon has jokes?
The dragon shouldn't have jokes.
Quill, I actually like that one.
Quill like goes from like looking very proud of himself to like not.
Don't worry, right. Quill, I quite enjoyed it.
You crazies are off. Well, at least I'm off. I've got to head out. I've got a wonderful place to go for Maple, and then I'm off to a small little town where the lovely L rests, or is alive. I will see you guys later. I like seeing the little hell out. And he pets Chowder as he leaves.
Chowder enjoys it.
Also, I scored us a room.
You think we're staying here?
Shade calls out. Probably not.
I'd prefer not to stay here.
Agreed.
Yeah, the big sexy vampire lady said after she exsanguinated everybody, we'd have an after party.
Yeah, but Shade just said she was going to turn us into ghouls if we do that.
No, she said the rest of the party turned into ghouls.
I put my hand on Artemis's shoulder and kind of like crouch down a little bit to get on even level, and I go, I know, buddy, she was hot, but we have to go.
But I'm not gonna say that. I was about to say a word that begins with M.
He gives Artemis a bootleg version of Resident Evil 8. Here, believe all your fantasies there. Let's go.
And ends with IES. And has ilk in the middle.
Yeah, we need to leave. The new nickname for timeout of Artemis is now actually Horny Jail. So,
no. No, don't take me. No.
Don't worry, where you're going, nobody's going to be taking you.
Oh. Oh.
On that note.
Yeah.
So as you guys have been standing there sort of discussing, the door closes up top, and you find yourself almost instantly sort of surrounded and by the bodyguards. And Lady Leandra just stands up and she goes, "I will see you at the after party, Artemis. Hopefully." And that's where we're going to end today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. We're not your A team. We're not even a backup team. We're, in fact, the last vampiric team you'll ever think to call. We are the Z team. I am your Dungeon Master, Sky. You can find me at Skylar Carter on Twitter and Instagram. Please follow, like the show, all that jazz. Facebook, Spotify, iTunes, trying on Audible. But Onyx, what do you got?
Well, looks like we're stuck in the party, and I get my milkies. So embarrassing to say. You can find me at Race at Roll, where we're on all basically all the same listening platforms. Plus a couple others. You can actually listen to some of our, if you join our Patreon, you can actually listen to some of the new episodes we put out there. It's only for Patreon listeners only. So, hope you enjoy those. But, yeah, that's it for me.
Olive.
Artemis's horny crimes are gonna land us all in, like, a hot vampire death prison.
Kian is not gonna know what to do.
Oh god. You got anything, Raz?
Just my Twitter at Happy Cow Farm.
And Coop.
Yeah, I got nothing either.
So we got danger in the next episode. But we'll have to see you next week when that happens. You guys have yourselves a gorgeous day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye. Olive. Give your Sheba a bat.
Oh,
so
it
can
no.
So I can go bonk code.
Thank God.
Bye.
Boy.